In the preaching, Judges chapter 6, I want to preach to you for a little while. I want to read some verses here, or actually quite a few verses I want to read, 14 verses, and then I want to preach to you about the Lord being under the oak, the Lord under the oak. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 1. Let's start reading. He says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." Doesn't look like it's shaping up to be a very nice sermon, does it? It is a good sermon, though. I just have to read these things to get you to the good part. He says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." That's a long time, ain't it? He says, "The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And I'm going to preach to you about he's still under the oak. He's still under the oak. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness this morning. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. I pray, oh God, you'd help me to preach for just a few minutes now. And God, I pray you'd encourage some folks, God. Lord, you said you would send this man Gideon to save Israel, God, out of the hands of the enemy. And God, we do live in a hard time, in a harsh time, dear God. And it's not a very compatible society for Christians. And God, I pray you'd help us. God, we need help, oh God. We need strength. And Lord, we need your help. We need your mercy. And Lord, I pray you'd send it, oh God. Help us this morning. God, open our hearts, open our understanding for just a few minutes as we preach. God, I pray you'd change somebody's heart, change somebody's life. I read, oh God, about old Saul. You said you gave him a new heart. You turned him into another person. And God, I pray you'd give us a new heart. Turn us into a new person. God, we're born again. We're a new creature. But God, we need new hearts, God, and I pray you'd do that for us. Help us now is my plea, God. Help us, God. Arrest our attention, God, for the next few minutes as I preach. And God, help me to say what must be said and help these to hear. And I'll thank you, oh God, for what you do. In Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen. A little bit nervous about preaching it. Well, not really nervous, but I never preached this sermon before, and I seem to be a little bit stuttery whenever I do that. But anyway, I want to preach to you this morning about a few things about this passage. You find a lot of times, a lot of references in the Old Testament about an oak. And I've done a little bit of studying on these things, and some neat things turn out, and we'll go over some of those things towards the end of the sermon. But I want to tell you about these things here in the chapter this morning. Look back up in verse number 1 and 2 with me, and we'll just read these verses and talk about these verses a little bit. And hopefully the Lord will speak to your heart this morning. And even when I can't preach, the Lord can. Amen. Amen. Even when we kind of, you know, have a a lack of words. You know, I was talking to a man yesterday and talking about saying a prayer and couldn't think of what to say. Even when we don't know what to say, God knows what to say. So we'll trust God for that this morning. And I really want you to open your heart to the Lord as far as the message goes this morning. Look what he says here. He says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." So verse 1 and 2, sometimes God's people can run into difficulties and troubles and trials. Did you know that? You might turn on the television set and you might hear some preacher talking about if you're in the will of God, everything's going to be rosy and you're going to be rich. And you know, you send me $1 for this pen and God will give you $100,000. That's all baloney.
Amen.
I got a few other choice words, but God don't let me say those words no more since I got saved. That stuff is a con artist. That's just a big con. That's just a big business. If you hadn't found out that television is a business by now, then you need some re-education or something like that. There's not much God on TV, I promise you that right now. But when they talk about prosperity, thank God there is some prosperity in serving the Lord. Thank God that is. But I promise you this, God said in this world you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have persecutions. You're going to have trials. And in this case, I didn't say in every case, but in this case, the trouble that came into their life was of their own doings. Listen, don't be so proud in your life that every time something bad happens to you, it's somebody else's fault. Sometimes, I didn't say all the time, but sometimes it's going to be your fault. Let me say this right up front. God still loves you. Thank God for God's grace.
Amen.
Listen, I could sit down and examine your lives and find plenty of reason to rebuke you or to release you from this church. I could find plenty of reasons to kick you out. And you could find plenty of reasons to kick me out. Amen? Listen, if I examine your life a little bit, I could find some failures and some faults.
Right.
The Lord told the king of Babylon, he said, "You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting." And we read that verse and say, "Oh, too bad for him." But listen, if God weighed you in the balance, you'd be found wanting too.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You better thank God for the grace of God. Listen, sometimes God's people can run into hardship, and God promised that we would see some difficult times. But in this case right here, their difficulty was of their own doings. Listen, let me say this. If you're going to suffer, listen, if He promised us tribulation, and if when you was lost, you went through some tribulation, didn't you? Now, if there's hardship for doing wrong and there's hardship for doing right, why don't you just suffer some hardship for doing right? That's what the Apostle Peter said, ain't it? He said, if you're going to suffer for doing wrong, suffer it for righteousness' sake.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
We talked about some of those things in Sunday school this morning. Submitting yourself. And every once in a while, listen, you're going to run through troubles. You're going to run into troubles. You're going to run into trials. Listen, Israel would have been in trouble if they had said, "Why is this happening to us?" Wouldn't they? They certainly would have. But listen, that's not exactly what happened here. Look down in verse 7. Look what it said. I'm trying to rush through this introduction so we can get there ain't no use in me rushing. Let me just read it. Verse number 7, it says, "It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet." Look at that verse. "It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Listen, let me say this to you this morning. When things get difficult, when you're going through hardships and trials and tribulations and stuff like that, call on the Lord.
Yeah.
Call out to Him. Cry out to Him. Listen, you say, why? That's all you can do.
Right.
Listen, all you can do when you get into trouble is call on the Lord.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. That's your only hope. Brother Mike, you cannot fix your troubles.
Amen.
There ain't nothing you can do about it. Even if you caused them, there's nothing you can do about it. You would think if you lived a lifestyle that was troublesome, you would think that all you would have to do is turn away from that lifestyle and everything would get better. But we reap what we sow.
Right.
The effects of this life are going to be there long after the cause is gone.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. They exploded a nuclear weapon over the nation of Japan in the 1940s. The effects are still there. One of those Yankee generals marched through Atlanta in the 1860s and burned a swath from Atlanta to the ocean. Listen, you can still fly over and see the results of that today.
Amen.
Listen, the results are still there long after the cause is gone. Listen, the only thing you can do when you get into trouble, when you get into a hard spot, whether it's physically or mentally, whatever the case is, the only thing you can do is call out to the Lord. Amen? That's all you can do. That's all you can do. I wish I could get that through your mind. Cry out. That's all you can do. Listen, if crying out do good enough to save you, it'll do good enough to help you.
Amen.
You know how you got saved? You called on the Lord. You say, how else? That's the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you got saved, if you got saved, you got saved by calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Now, that's why would you think you could help yourself any other way?
Right.
Everything else is just symptoms after salvation. You say, what kind of trouble am I going through? I'll tell you what kind of trouble you're going through. It's a symptom of being a man. It's a symptom of being a woman. Amen? Then we'll leave you ladies out. If it'll do good to save you, it'll do good to help you. Amen? Now look what he says here in verse 8. You see, they were in trouble. Verse 1 and 2, they were in trouble. Verse 7, they called on the Lord. Now look what happens. Verse 7, he says, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. And I wish you would pay some special attention to those last four words. They didn't call on the Lord because they loved Him. They called on the Lord because of the Midianites.
Right.
David said, I went astray, and he said, I was afflicted. Then I called on the Lord. Listen, there's something in man that's just drawn to wickedness, drawn to badness. The one song we sing as a hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And we don't want that to be true. We want everybody in the world to think we're the greatest Christians. And you ought to strive to be the greatest Christians. And if you've got some problem in your life, hey, I recommend hiding it. Don't hide it from God. But don't let it just hang out there where everybody can see it and everybody can be encouraged to do wrong. I've been thinking about a preacher, and me and Ruth was talking about the other day, this preacher, and he done a bad thing. He done a terrible thing. And you know, a lot of people forgiven him, a lot of people accepted him, and we were talking about some things the other night, and I sat down thinking this. I said, the worst thing, listen, everybody has sinned. Everybody has come short. I said, but the very worst thing about it is that that fellow let that stuff hang out there for everybody to see. And now it's a mark against him. Not only that, but just like the Lord told David, he said, you've given the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme. Listen, if you've got something going on in your life or going wrong in your life, listen, don't be so bold as to flaunt it. Just put that thing in the pocket somewhere and say, God, help me with this thing. Help me before it gets out. I've done that many a times. I'd sit down and listen, I'd be going along and thinking, this is all right, this is all right. And then God showed me the thing is not necessarily right. And I say, oh God, well, help me. Help me get this thing right before somebody finds out about it. Hurt my testimony. And more than that, hurt your testimony. You know you carry the testimony of the Lord, right? The testimony of Jesus Christ is prophecy. You know that? It's entrusted to you. But look what he says here. In verse number 7, he says, that wasn't part of the sermon. That's just come down from the heavens. Amen. He said, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord said, thank God for the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
How many times have you messed up and you thought, well, that's the last straw right there. That's the straw that broke the camel's back right there. The Lord ain't never going to deal with me again. And then the next morning, His mercies was renewed. He said, you want to talk with me this morning? Sometimes you ain't necessarily wanting to talk to God, but you'll wake up sometimes and He'll say, you want to talk to me today? You got something you want to say to me today? Don't you owe me? I mean, He's got the boldness and He's got the right to require of you a little repentance, a little apology is the word I'm trying to look for. You know, if you went to your friend and said, don't you owe me an apology? There might still be a fuss coming right there. But God, how are you going to argue with God when He says, don't you owe me an apology this morning? And that's the grace of God.
Amen.
Now listen, it says in verse 7, he says, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. I wish He would have told us which one it was. I'd like to know the prophet's names, amen? But He didn't name. Listen, sometimes you're not going to get a big name in Christianity. A big name is not what we're after. A big name is not what we're after. We're after a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And thank God this old prophet was listening when the Lord said, go speak to the children. And so he says, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And I read it to you a while ago, but listen, what he comes and he said, look, I'm God and I came down and I brought you out of Egypt. And that to you and me, that's just like being saved. Amen. That's a picture. Coming out of Egypt is a picture of our salvation. It took the blood. Amen.
Amen.
It took the blood. It took firstborn sons dying. Amen. There's all kinds of types in there that make that a type of your salvation. And he said to these children of Israel, he said, I brought you out of Egypt. He said, I told you when you got in this land not to be fooling with those false gods, and you disobeyed me. That's what he said, ain't it? But listen, what he's really doing right there is he's letting them know. He said they've sinned and they were under oppression now and they were paying for their sins in the flesh. They were paying for their sins. They were paying for the wrong that they had done. They cried unto the Lord and the Lord sent them a prophet. That's God's faithfulness and that's God's way of telling them, hey, he didn't come out there and pat them on the back and say everything's okay. He's letting them know in verse 7, 8, and 9, or verse 8, 9, and 10, he's letting them know that when you call and God answers, it's by grace.
Amen.
He didn't send them a prophet because they was keeping the Ten Commandments. He didn't send them a prophet. He didn't send them a prophet because they was doing exactly like they were supposed to do. He didn't send them a prophet because they were separated from everybody else. He sent them a prophet to answer their prayers because of His grace and His goodness.
Amen.
And His faithfulness. And we could go on and on right there, couldn't we? Amen. He certainly could. Now I want to get to the message here. I want to get to the message here in verse 11. Look what he says. There came an angel of the Lord. That word angel means appearance. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. You see what he's doing? You see what Gideon's doing there? Now Gideon's daddy, if you read on down through the chapter there, verse 24, 25 along through there, you'll find out that Gideon's daddy is an idolater. Gideon's daddy is worshiping false gods. And so I'm going to say, if like father is like son, Gideon probably following his daddy. And let me say this to you mamas and daddies. Your children are following you. Oh, how did my children fall down? How did my children end up the way they are? You led them there most likely.
Hello.
You led them there most... Listen, I can't say that for every case. It's foolish to throw a blanket statement over a whole crowd. But people usually turn out the way they're raised. And the things that was in you, mom and daddy, when you was their age, it's showing up now and then, ain't it? Yes, sir. Listen, I try to shelter my children from everything. I mean, maybe I'm doing it too much, but I'd rather go too far one way than the wrong way.
Amen?
Amen? And listen, we got two or three couples in here now that's fixing to have babies. Listen, you better shelter them. This world is trying to kill them.
That's right.
Have you seen the stuff that's in this world? Listen, when you older folks, when y'all seen Elvis Presley coming down the pike, you never thought nothing about Marilyn Manson, did you? Ozzy Osbourne. You never thought about Ozzy when Elvis was on the way. Listen, what in the world? Listen, Brother Clint, let me ask you a question. Just looking at the difference between Elvis Presley and Marilyn Manson, what is that little young'un of yours going to be facing here in about 20 years? It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. So I'm going to just go ahead and assume that Gideon was following his daddy. But thank God, you and I be traveling the wrong road and God will show up.
Yeah.
Ain't you glad about that?
Amen.
Can't you say amen about that, you bunch of Presbyterians? I mean, you was headed in the wrong direction and God, by His grace, come by and done something for you, didn't He? Look what He says there again, verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak. You see the way that verse is laid out? The angel comes and sits down by the oak. And if you read on, you'll find out that that oak is right there where Gideon's threshing. And Gideon, the angel shows up, sits down under the oak. And Gideon just keeps on the threshing there. You see that? Gideon don't even know he's there. That angel's just sitting there watching him. Just sitting there watching him. And Gideon's hiding. He's hiding. You know what it takes to hide? You got to be afraid. In other words, Gideon is a coward. He's afraid he's going to get hurt. He's threshing his wheat by the wine press. Why, wheat don't go by the wine press. Grapes go by the wine press. Not wheat. He took his wheat out of the field and brought it over to the wine press. And I guess he's down the valley or something, maybe hiding out behind the barn, threshing wheat. That's what a lot of Christians do. They hide out. Something bad comes along, they hide out. I'm going to hide. I'm going to withdraw to my room, be depressed about this thing a little while. And that's what Gideon's doing. That's what Gideon's doing. But I want you to notice, the Lord's sitting there the whole time. Listen, the Lord is always going to be there before you know it. I couldn't tell you how many times I've been in a bad situation, whether it was my own making or whether it was somebody else's making, and be worried and hiding out and depressed and just going through the motions pretty much. Even if I was trying to live right, hey, he's trying to get a job done, but he's doing it in the wrong place. And listen, when everything was said and done, the Lord was there the whole time. Listen, I wish you would understand that whatever you're going through, whether it's temptation, whether it's trial, whether it's hardship, whether it's persecution for Christ's sake, the Lord's sitting right there with you. The Lord's sitting right there with you. He's sitting right there with you. Look in verse 12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him." You see, the Lord was there, and he was threshing, and then all of a sudden, the Lord appears to him. How would you like that? How would you like to already be scared to death because there's a Midianite army down the road, and you're sitting over here by the wine press trying to fix your wheat and get it into the garner, and then all of a sudden something just appears underneath an oak tree? Hey! I'm leaving my pitchfork and my tools and I'm gone. If it's me. Amen? Wouldn't you? This ain't, you see, what is that a picture of? That's a picture of the Lord looking over His shoulder. The Lord looking over your shoulder whether you know it or not. And some of you have gone so far as to have accused Him of deserting you. Well, where's the Lord when I'm going through this? He's right there. He's right there under the oak. I recommend to you looking for an oak. We got plenty of oaks around here, don't we? I thought about that the other day when I was thinking about this service, and I was out there in the garden, I began to look around. Oak tree right here. Oak, woods full of oak trees right there. Which one of these the Lord's sitting under? But you see this fellow, he's going through a hardship and the Lord looking over his shoulder. Gideon don't even know he's there. And then the Lord gave me a good example of this, and it happened a couple of weeks ago. But when I was writing this sermon down, the Lord said, "You remember that?" I said, "I sure do." I thought about taking a little lap right then. I'm excited about my Christianity. When God shows me something, listen, if God can use a cat to get you excited, boy, you know God's good. But listen, we got this cat out here, and the girls love that cat. And I'm not too big on cats, and I especially don't like a cat hanging around the church. I don't think that's the greatest thing. But listen, I'm glad my cat, my kids enjoy that thing. But listen, there's an old orange cat. Listen, people drive by here, and they drop off animals all the time. Dogs and cats, and some of them disappear mysteriously, but people do that all the time. And listen, these woods across the road and these woods behind the church are full of cats. You may not believe that, but you come out and catch them at the right time, you'll see two or three hanging out by the edge of the woods. But listen, there's one cat out there, and he must be the big daddy because he ain't afraid of nothing. He'll come right up here in the yard. Well, he's afraid of my shotgun. And I've blasted at him a couple of times but missed him. Now, he must be the devil. But anyway, he sneaks up here and he beats up my cat. And he takes my cat food. And he's not as big as my cat. That cat's kind of big. And I think, you ain't nothing but a wimp. You're just a wimpy little cat. But that cat, I heard him out there squabbling. You know how it kind of sounds like you when you're fighting down at the house, don't you? Well, I heard that outside and I grabbed my shotgun and run out. And that cat took off across the road. And my cat ran up there to the porch and sat down. So I went back in, put my shotgun up, and I come back to the door, and I didn't fool with the door. I didn't want him to know I was there, just sitting there watching. If that cat come back, I wanted to be right on him. So I'm sitting here looking for this cat, and outside, my cat's looking for the cat. He's just sitting there looking around, and every once in a while, he'll go. And I'm sitting there thinking, something making a noise over there, something, and every little noise, he's jumping. You know there's Christians like that. Every time a little twig snaps in your life. But you know, I'm sitting here, that cat don't know I'm watching him. And I'm standing right over his shoulder. And if that old orange cat would have come up right then, I'd have blasted him. But that cat didn't know that. You see? And that cat sat there. I let him sit there about 5 minutes. And boy, he looked like he was in a bad shape. And I went like this. Tapped on the glass behind him and he went. He laid down and took him a rest. Listen, the Midianite, Gideon was out there threshing by the wine press. But if the Midianite army would have come up there to get him, they'd have had themselves a problem. Because there's somebody sitting over there under the oak that ain't going to let nothing happen to God's children. That does something for me. I don't know what it does for you, but I'm glad we got a God that'll hang out with us when we're scared to death. Even if it's our own doing. Gideon was one of the idol worshipers. Amen? What a good God we serve. All of a sudden God appears out of nowhere. Listen, and you listen to what God says to him. Verse 12, he says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." You hear what he called him? Thou mighty man of valor. Listen, the way you see yourself and the way God sees you is a little bit different. You know who you are. Listen, even if you're playing church this morning, you know who you are. Even if you just come to church this morning to fulfill your religious duty, you know who you are. Even if you got yourself convinced you're all right, you know who you are this morning. And God knew who Gideon was. And Gideon knew why he was by the wine press. He was Chicken Little. But when God shows up, listen, God might have done that just for encouragement. God said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And he says, "Me? I'm hiding." Mighty men of valor don't hide, they fight.
Amen.
Ain't you glad God can call you something that you ain't?
Amen.
God calls you righteous. God calls you holy. God calls you His Son. Boy, that's good.
Amen.
You might not be getting it, but that's good.
Amen.
That's good stuff right there. God knows, listen, let me say this. God knows exactly when to appear. God knows just when to show up. And even if He's late, He's on time. Y'all remember about Lazarus, don't you?
Yeah.
That fellow was already dead and wrapped up. Put in the grave. Listen, if He can show up after you're dead, He ain't going to be late. if He can show up after you're dead and fix everything, what you got to worry about? You ain't dead yet.
That's right.
Amen? You can at least say that when the going gets tough. Even if it's your fault, you can say, "I ain't dead yet. I was in here praying last night, and I know, listen, I was praying about some men that have messed up and they're still trying to be preachers. And listen, those men really ought to sit down and let somebody else preach for a while. But I think, well, I was thinking, you know, this don't excuse the situation, but I myself don't deserve to be a preacher, and God ain't killed me yet. Man, I'm still alive."
Yeah.
Still alive. That's God's grace. That's God's goodness. And God look at His children and say, "You mighty man of valor," when we ain't nothing doing nothing but hiding. Listen, if you want to look at it this way, if Gideon wanted to do something for God, his opportunity was there. The Midianites was there. Now, you think there ain't something for you to do out there? There's some folks out there for you to witness to that you ain't been witnessing to. You've been hiding, Gideon. Ain't it something how you hide from your responsibilities as a Christian? And every once in a while, God will show up and say, "How you doing, you mighty man of valor?" You say, how can He do that? Is He lying? Is He compromising? No, He's looking at you through His Son. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us mighty in valor. It does something to you. Listen, if you've been washed in the blood, you're not who you was. The devil might have you, or you might have you fooled into thinking you're the same old person that you was, but the blood made a difference in you. The blood made a difference in you. Now, I want you to look in verse 13 and 14 and see what he says. "And Gideon said unto him," we always got something to say back to the Lord, don't we? The best thing you can do when God comes by and starts talking to you is shut your mouth. Listen a little while. Listen. Shh. That'd be the best thing. Listen, if God shows up and calls you a mighty man of valor, don't add injury to insult by putting your 2 cents in it. Just take it. Oh, amen. Now, if you wasn't doing right and the preacher patted you on the back, you'd say, "Yes, I deserve that." Yeah, but old Gideon, he had some questions. Now listen, Listen, ain't you glad God puts up with our questions? Look what he says here. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? That's a good question. That's a good question, ain't it? Why? He says, why, if God be with us, why is all this thing befallen us? And the answer is simple. You deserve it. That's a simple answer.
It kind of offends people's sensibilities, and I don't mean it in an offensive way. I mean it in a theological way. I mean it in a sense between us and God. We don't deserve the grace of God. We deserve God's judgment. We deserve God's judgment. Now, as a person, your mama might have raised you well, and you might have done the right things, and you might have treated little old ladies right, and you might have paid your bills. As a person, as your mom and daddy raised you, you may be good, but you're not good enough to fellowship with God.
Right.
And so Gideon says, Oh Lord, he said, why then is all this befallen us? He said, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? You know what? Look what he says next. He says, where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of? So Gideon, you know what Gideon, let me make this real simple for you. You know what's actually going on in Gideon's mind? Gideon knows about the blessings, but he does not know about the curses. Do you realize that? Somehow in Israel, they got to the place where they magnified what God had done for them in the past. They magnified the good things, but Gideon did not understand why his people was being overcome. You know, we live in that exact same time period today. We have had preachers to stand up and say, God is good. God is wonderful. You know, they got the little chants that they do in church. God is good. And the people say, all the time. And then the guy says, all the time. And the people say, God is good. You know, we have chanted that stuff. And we have led folks into believing that God is nothing but rewards and lollipops and sugar sticks.
That's right. Amen.
That's exactly the case that Gideon was in. Listen, Gideon's father was telling him about the fact that God brought him out of Egypt and God parted the Red Sea. And he told him about the fact that God split the Jordan River for him. And he told him about the fact that Jericho fell. And he told him about the fact that Ai fell. And he told him about the fact that God used the judges and God used Joshua and God used Moses. He told Gideon all that stuff. But he didn't tell him that God said, if you walk after the ways of this world, you'll be judged.
Amen.
So Gideon said, if you're with us, why is all this stuff happening to us? And so you've got Christians today, and their cry is, why does God let good things or bad things happen to good people? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? Have you ever heard that question before? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? First of all, there ain't no good people. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. If you don't believe Romans chapter 3, how do you believe John 3:16? How is that possible? Because you only know the good, you hadn't heard the bad. Hadn't you heard God is love? How come it is that folks have stopped preaching about God turning the wicked into hell? You see, Gideon honestly didn't understand. I read that and the light come on to me on that verse and I said, oh my goodness, he don't know. Listen, as a Christian in a type of church like this, if God showed up in your life today with judgment, you would know why. Listen, even if you're not in agreement with me right now about these hard things and difficult things, even if you say, Brother Mike, you ought to be easier when you preach, I guarantee you if God showed up in judgment in your life, you, like Gideon, wouldn't have to ask. You'd say, oh. And I've been through that 100 times. God put His hand of judgment in my life and I say, oh, it's for that. I'm sorry, Lord. It's almost like, Brother Pedro, there's no question in my mind what it's for. But listen, you and I are judging the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Mormons and the Catholics like they understand just like we do. They don't. When hardships come, they don't understand. When your lost loved one, something happens in their life, they don't understand. And you want to beat them over the head like they should understand a Bible degree, like you understand because you come to church every week. They don't understand. Gideon didn't understand. Lord, why is all this stuff? Why is all this stuff happening? And then he said, second of all, he said, where be all the miracles? Where's all the miracles at? And I don't know about you, but I want to see some miracles.
Yeah.
You say you still believe in the miracle working God? I certainly do.
Yeah.
I certainly do.
Yeah.
I believe God can heal. I believe God can do a multitude of things. But you know what the question for Gideon was, don't you? He said, where's all the miracles? I'll tell you where the miracles are. The miracles are in obedience.
Yeah, right.
That's where they are. If God has got to the place where He's not working miracles in your life, it's because you're not being obedient. You're not being obedient. God might send you a prophet. God in His faithfulness might give you forgiveness. God in His faithfulness might send you a message. But listen, in order to see the miracles take place, y'all remember Roe was in here talking about if you want to see God do the impossible, put yourself in an impossible situation, you better be in obedience before you put yourself in those impossible situations. You say, why? Because God will let you hit your rear end. When your youngins was trying to walk, you didn't catch them every time before they hit the floor, did you? No, sir. You allow hardship. You allow hardship, don't you? Yes, sir, because you want to teach them a lesson. You know, I've been growing a garden now, and you know one thing I learned? When a plant starts pushing itself up through the ground, and you can just barely see it breaking the ground, you see the gram coming off of it, you know what the worst thing in the world you can do is go out there and knock the dirt off the top of it. It'll still grow. It'll get up there about so high, and because it didn't have to push its way up through the ground, it's just a weak plant sitting there. First hardship that comes along, it's going to fall right over. Yes, sir. Well, you want to see miracles in your life, you better get some obedience. God's not just going to let you go through a miracle life with you not having no obedience. No, sir. Obedience does something in your life. Obedience hardens your life, while the miracles of God keeps you in tune with the Lord. It keeps you dependent on Him. If you live a life like you ought to live and live in obedience and let God work some miracles in your life, boy, it increases your faith. But if you're disobedient, you're not going to increase your faith in disobedience, so you ain't going to see no miracles. You'll see God's grace, and that's a miracle, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
He says, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Listen, what he's saying, the Lord's forsook us. Yeah, he's sitting there talking to the Lord. Our perception gets messed up, don't it? And he said, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Boy, I like those words. Have not I sent thee? Ain't God good that He'll send you, and He'll use you, and He'll just allow you to exist. And all the bad things and all how good He is, all the bad things you've done and thought, and Lord, He'll still come and use you. I'm amazed at all the things they had wrong in Israel that God didn't come down and say, now you get this right, and you get this right, and you get this right, and you get this right, then I'll help you. He didn't say that. There are some places in the Bible where He did do that way. But listen, in this case, they was wrong. They called out to the Lord. He come and said, you're in this situation because you done wrong. Then He said, now I'm going to help you. That's it. He didn't go over a long list of sins with them, did He? He just said, now go do right. Ain't that what He told the woman when they was trying to kill her? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Just go. Just go. Listen, a couple times the Lord forgiving you and being real merciful to you. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I mean, after you know you deserve for God to bust your rear end a couple of times and He lets you go and says, go and sin no more. That'll make you want to do right. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. Look what He says in verse 21. He says, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand. Now between verse 14 and verse 21, Gideon wanted to feed this angel here. And so he comes down to verse 21 and says, the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes, and there arose up a fire out of the rock. And the Lord can make fire and water come out of the rock. How about that? And consumed the flesh of the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now listen, that verse don't say he left. It says it departed out of his sight. You know what he done? He walked back over there and sat down under the oak. I believe that with all my heart. You say it don't say that. I don't care if it says that or not. It don't say he left. It says it departed out of his sight. Look what it says right here. He says, boy, I hope that's the Lord calling. Anyway, look what he says. We can preach over a telephone. Look what it says. The angel of the Lord, verse 21, put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And look what Gideon says. When Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." He thought he was fixing to die. He thought he was fixing to die. And look what he said. "The Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee." You see that? The Lord's still there. He's still there. He ain't going nowhere. He's still right where he was before. You, listen, the Lord was there before you thought he was, and he's going to be there long after you think he's gone. The Lord ain't going to leave you. The Lord is not going to leave you. He said, "The Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not." He said, "Thou shalt not die." The Lord departed out of his sight, but it didn't say he left him. And listen, this is just like old Jacob. You remember Jacob running from Esau? He got out there in the middle of the wilderness, laid his head down on the rock, and the Bible said he dreamed a dream. And there was a ladder let down from heaven, and the angels descended and ascended upon him. And when he woke up, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not." That's just like old Gideon sitting there at the first. He's out there working and toiling and looking around like my old cat Blue. And he's looking around thinking, "My goodness, I'm going to get attacked at any time." The whole time the Lord's sitting right there. The Lord's with you. Listen, if you're saved, the Lord's with you. If you're saved, the Lord's with you. If you're saved, the Lord's with you. I wish I could get that over to you.
Amen.
The Lord ain't left you. The Lord ain't forsook His people. Listen, I wouldn't drive at that. I wouldn't go on happy about that. I can just do what I want to. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God's still with you. I'm saying God's still with you. He said, verse number 23, he said, "The Lord said unto him, Peace be unto you." That's the ever-present voice of God. Amen?
Amen.
Just because you can't see Him don't mean He's not there. I wish you could get that across. I wish I could get that across to you. Just because you can't see Him don't mean He's not there. Listen, when you get out into a place of temptation, just because you can't see Him don't mean He ain't there. When you get in a place of desperation, just because you can't see Him don't mean He ain't there. When you get into a place of depression, just because you can't see Him don't mean He ain't there. He's there. He's there. Oh, many's the time I ain't been able to see Him, but I can still hear His voice. Listen, you ever heard Him say it's going to be all right? Yes, sir. That's what he told old Gideon here. He said, "Oh, I've seen the Lord. I'm in trouble now." He said, "No, it's going to be all right. Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die." Brother Mike, I've got myself in a situation where I thought this was it. If God's a God of holiness and righteousness, He's going to kill me now. I should not have done that. And God said, "Everything's going to be all right. Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die." Let me tell you a few things about this oak and then I'll be done. Jacob had two wives. One's name was Leah and one's name was Rachel. You know that story in the Bible?
Yeah.
Rachel was the second bride. Did you know that Israel is the bride of God and the church is the bride of Christ? Israel is the bride of God and the church is the bride of Christ. Do you know that? That means the church is the second bride. You know where they buried Rachel? Under an oak. When Rachel died, when the church folks die, they don't go to the ground, they go to God's place. Under the oak is God's place. Amen? There was a man of God in the Old Testament, don't tell his name. God sent him to prophesy against an altar. And after he prophesied, God said, "You go back home." He said, "You don't stay in this place." But on his way home, you know what he done? He sat down under an oak. You don't sit down in God's place. God didn't tell us to sit down. He told us to go. That man of God sat down in God's place, the place of control. God's place is the place of control. He said, God told me to go home, but I'm going to sit down right here. And he sat down. You know what happened to him? He got killed. His ministry and his life was destroyed for sitting in God's place. You know what? Joshua chapter 24, verse 26, God said that Joshua set up a stone of witness in Shechem by the sanctuary. You know where he put it? He put it by the sanctuary. He put it under an oak. What an awesome God we got. What an awesome Bible this is. See, I don't like that word awesome. I don't care. We serve a great God. He's there for us. He loves you. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't have died for you and He wouldn't have saved you. And listen, He didn't love you and die for you just to swat you like a fly the first time you messed up. And listen, I'm not giving you an occasion to mess up. I'm giving you an occasion to do right. Boy, if you see how much He loves you, you want to do right. Listen, I'm not talking about compromise. If you want to talk about compromise, you come back and hear my sermon tonight. We'll see whether we compromise or not. I'm telling you that God hadn't forsook you just because you messed up a time or two. God hadn't forsook you just because you're hiding out. He is right now where He's always been, under that oak, right in His place. And He'll appear to you, and He'll call you like you've never been called before. Brother Richard, thou mighty man of valor. You say, I don't believe that. Well, God does. Well, you don't know what Richard does. God does. You don't know what old Brother Curtis does. God does. You don't know about Brother Nathan's secret life. God does. And God said, listen, God knows about yours too. And because, not because Richard's a good man, or Curtis is a good man, or Clint's a good man, or Tony's a good man. It's because the blood of Jesus Christ covered us all.
Thank God.
That way we all mighty men of valor. How you feel about that, ladies? You like being a mighty man of valor? How about them equal rights, huh? Mighty man. That's right. Listen, you ladies can have just as much power of God as any man sitting in this building. You can. You say, why? Because I'm so good. No, because God's blood made you a mighty woman. A Christian person. You like them politically correct words, them person words. A Christian person. How's that? It's by the blood of Christ, not your goodness.
Amen.
Not your baptism, not your church membership. It's because He's still under the oath. So He's still able to save.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for Your goodness and for Your mercy. I pray, oh God, You'd take this little sermon this morning, and God, You would help. God, that You would strengthen. God, You would encourage some of Your children, God, to go on and to go forward for You. God, I pray this little time of invitation, You'd touch people's heart, God, and let people realize that, God, You are a God of mercy. You are a God of love. You are a God of grace. And I pray, oh God, that You would do according to Your will in people's hearts. God, speak. God, move and God, touch. God, just like You done for Gideon. God, if You'd have stayed and You wouldn't have revealed Yourself, You could have stayed under that oak all day long. But if You hadn't revealed Yourself, if You hadn't magnified Yourself to Gideon, He'd have still been hiding there today if he was alive. And God, I pray this morning You'd not only be under the oak, but You'd reveal Yourself and magnify Yourself to these people. Oh God, I pray You'd help them. Now, as Nathan comes, you come and play a little song. I want to give a little time of invitation this morning. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Listen, this morning you've been hiding. As a Christian, you've been hiding as a person. Listen, you've been hiding and not doing what you're supposed to be doing in the right way, in the right place. Come this morning and ask God to reveal Himself to you. Would you do that? Would you do that this morning? I know it wasn't a great salvation message, or actually it was a pretty good salvation message if you think about it. But listen, this morning you can do. Listen, it was encouragement. And I know you're probably not under deep conviction about your sin this morning, but we can gather around this altar this morning and ask God to reveal Himself to us and deal with us and help us. And I did talk about these children this morning and how you adults are leading your children and being an example to your children. Would you please deal with God this morning? Say, God, help me. God, help me be the mighty man that You showed me. I mean, God showed Himself to Gideon and said, Gideon, You're a mighty man of valor. Say, God, show me that. God, help me to be the mighty man of valor that I ought to be. Some's come this morning. Some's come. While Nathan plays, you come this morning. Deal with God. Deal with the Lord this morning. You young boys and girls, listen, there's no time like the present to become a mighty man of valor. Y'all come. Do business with God. Be seated. Go ahead, Lisa. All right, this one.